WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The movie K-19 comes out on video and DVD next week. In a time when we're worried about the possibility of nuclear terrorism, the movie tells the story of a nearly catastrophic nuclear accident during the Cold War. It's based on a nonfiction book by retired Navy Captain Peter Hoogthausen. He served for more than 20 years as an anti-submarine warfare expert. He was the technical advisor to the movie, which stars Harrison Ford as the sub's captain. The K-19 was the Soviets' first nuclear-powered submarine to carry nuclear-tipped ballistic missiles, missiles that had the capability of striking the United States. During its publicized first mission on July 4, 1961, the sub launched missiles from a test site. On its return, it developed a leak in the nuclear reactor's cooling system. Fire broke out in the compartment containing the reactor, releasing high levels of radiation that killed the men who repaired the leak. Had they failed to repair it, a nuclear explosion would have released a massive cloud of radiation. The book, K-19, includes excerpts of the captain's journals, including descriptions of what happened after the fire broke out in the compartment containing the reactor. I asked Hoogthausen to describe the captain's account.
Well, Captain Zataev was an experienced submarine commander, and he knew that it was just a matter of time before he was going to lose control of the reactor, and the reactor would overheat and possibly cause a fuel meltdown and possibly a major hydrogen explosion. So he had a very limited amount of time in which to come up with a solution for rigging a backup cooling system, which was not did not exist. And so as the crew were fighting the fire, he was forced with making a decision whether or not to send crewmen inside the shielded reactor space, which was eventual death, and he knew it, to fabricate a system to provide cooling water inside the reactor.
You know, in the captain's journal, he writes regarding the men who went to fix the system knowing that they wouldn't survive. He writes, "It seems what really determines the choices a man makes in critical life-threatening situations is still his inner conviction, his sense of responsibility for the events around him, his personal conscience. This is equally true of both the ones who send others to their death and the ones who go." What did you think about reading that?
Well, it shows that Captain Zataev was a very thoughtful man and a very intensive leader who had a great deal of moral integrity. And as any commanding officer who's faced with a decision like that, he made the decision that would have saved, at least the best decision in his opinion, that would have saved his men. But of course that was heavy on his mind, the fact that he was sending individuals in who were certainly going to die. And the sad part of it is that the men he mentions went in voluntarily, understanding that it was extremely dangerous, probably did not have a full understanding of nuclear power and the radiation poisoning. Unfortunately, we now know in that time in the Soviet Navy, they had rushed those ships and submarines to sea to keep up with the United States and the West, and they didn't properly train them. These were engineers, most of his young engineers, who had been taken from other submarines or from other ships in their Navy, given a modicum of nuclear power training, and then pushed out on a ship with inadequate safety precaution, inadequate casualty control training, and just sent out there to demonstrate that they had a deterrent capability to match the United States. And it was very sad because these men probably didn't understand how serious it was when they each entered to do that welding.
Did the men from the submarine who tried to jury-rig a new cooling system to make up for the one that wasn't working, did the new cooling system work?
Yes, the new cooling system did work. They achieved the surface. They managed to get safely to the surface. And after several attempts, it finally held. and the temperature went down, but they were still faced with a massive amount of radiation on board that had spread from not just the reactor compartment, but throughout the submarine. And he knew that prolonged exposure to this radiation was going to probably kill everybody on board. So he was now faced with getting them home.
Well, home was about 1,500 miles away.
Right. Some of his officers, who had a little bit better understanding of the seriousness of the radiation poisoning, suggested that they take the submarine and beach it at the nearest possible land, which happened to be a Norwegian-owned island, Jan Mayen Island in the North Atlantic, which was housed a NATO ocean surveillance network. His officers came to him with that suggestion, and he opted for another gamble, which was to try to rendezvous with another group of diesel submarines which had been participating in the exercise. But this was a long shot, and he took that gamble, and he actually succeeded in rendezvousing with another submarine, who then helped him evacuate the crew to decontaminate some of those who had not been so severely irradiated, and actually abandon his K-19 and bring the men to safety.
Let's talk a little bit about the effects of the radiation. The men who were actually in Compartment 6, where the nuclear reactor and the cooling system were, the men who were working to create a new cooling system, they were exposed to massive amounts of radiation. They all died. What kind of deaths did they face?
Well, it was extremely slow and painful. All who died died several days after they got back to home port. So they spent a good 4 days in extremely painful condition. They had been burned internally because they actually ingested a lot of these nucleides, as well as being irradiated through the skin from the by being inside the shielded reactor space. You know, there are different kinds of radiation depending on what your sources are. Some can be shielded just by holding up a piece of paper or by wearing a shirt. Others can be washed off. But if you ingest these into your body, the process becomes extremely fatal. And those ingested nucleides will cause your body organs to swell and be poisoned. They actually bled through the pores of their skin, and their tongues were swollen, and many of them actually eventually suffocated because their mucous membranes all were swollen. It's an awful death.
Captain, since you were involved in studying Soviet submarines and trying to prevent them from doing any damage, what were some of the Soviet submarine secrets that you most wanted to find out when you started to have more access to Soviet records after the end of the Cold War?
Well, I think having been involved in anti-submarine warfare most of my career, and then as a submarine analyst in the intelligence business, and then ending up as attaché in Moscow when the Soviet Union was crumbling, and we began to hear the real stories behind what we suspected, I think what I wanted to hear most was what really had happened during these terrible accidents they had. We had a pretty good idea in naval intelligence of some of these accidents, but the Soviets were so good in the control of information that they had managed to cover up for so many years major accidents. For example, the loss of a battleship, 24,000-ton battleship in 1955 that exploded, capsized, and sank in a port in Sevastopol in the Black Sea, and with the loss of 608 men. This was the 20th century's largest peacetime naval accident in history, and they covered it up. The only people who knew anything about it were those who survived and their families. And this was not released to the world until 33 years later, when the former commander-in-chief of the Soviet Navy died. I was in Moscow then in the U.S. Embassy, and we began to hear these stories from survivors who began to step forward and tell their stories. And the same was about the submarine accidents. We had a pretty good idea that they had lost a number of submarines, but we didn't know how many men had been lost. And now we know that during the Cold War they lost a total of 8 submarines, and that's incredible. And the number of men lost was huge. We had an inkling. We knew where some of those were, but we didn't know the real cost, and we didn't know the real causes. And I had experiences in Moscow, which you wouldn't believe, where people were coming out of the woodwork asking me if I would take this information and report it, because it told the truth about the large number of people that were lost during the race to keep up with us in the Cold War.
Retired Navy Captain Peter Hoogthausen is the author of the book K-19. He was the technical advisor to the movie K-19, starring Harrison Ford as the captain of the submarine. It comes out on video and DVD next week. This is Fresh Air.